Beautiful feet. Everybody do that for me. I just love watching some of you squirm like that. Some of you again are looking at me like, Pastor, you've taught us to lie not one to another. We're not lying, amen. We're calling things that be not as though they were, amen. Because from God's perspective, they are. Your feet are beautiful from the perspective of God. And what makes our feet beautiful is nothing in the natural concerning our feet, but the fact that Jesus lives in you and that it's real, and that the very Spirit of Christ Himself is on the inside of you, eternal life. And everywhere you go, you carry the eternal life of God. Everywhere you go, you're bringing God into a situation of which a potential miracle is possible just because of your faith. And God wants us all to see ourselves from His perspective and realize that our feet are beautiful again because of the message we carry. That you are able to share Jesus with people I'll never get to share with. God will lead you across the paths of people that He's prepared their heart for you to share your faith, share your story, share what Jesus means to you. And so your feet are beautiful because, again, of the message you carry. Well, I want to look at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 again, and talk about faith and the process of faith. How important it is that we share our faith, that we share Jesus to a dying world, share Jesus with a world that many, many people are in dire straits and need the Lord, sincerely need the Lord. And so how does that process work in their lives? And Paul is talking about in Romans 10 how faith doesn't say certain things, but then how faith speaks and how faith works. How did you get faith to be saved? How did I get the faith to be saved? He breaks that down. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Man, you got to believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Any and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's how easy it is to get saved. That you just need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to put your trust in Jesus, in God, in the work of the cross. And everyone who does that will be saved. Look at verse 14. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? They can't. And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? They can't. And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? They can't. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. What makes your feet beautiful, what makes my feet beautiful, is that everywhere we go, we have good news. We don't have bad news. We have good news. We have good news of God's love for people and the work of the cross and how God has sent Jesus to save people. Everyone. That quote comes out of Isaiah 52 verse 7. And always when you see a quote in the New Testament, if you'll go back to the Old Testament where the quote was drawn from, I promise you'll always see more. You'll see something from a different angle, because it isn't ever that the writers misquote an Old Testament scripture. It's just many times they quote some of it. So when you go back, you get even a better context of it. So let's look where this comes from. It's Isaiah 52, 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Notice that even writing the good news down, that God is not at war with you anymore. God is not against you. That God has made peace with the whole world through the blood of His cross. Even writing that down makes our feet beautiful. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Notice that our feet are beautiful if we take Jesus to the world, but our feet are also beautiful if we're sharing with Zion that God reigns. Hebrews chapter 12 says that Zion is the church. So Anytime you're sharing with fellow believers that whatever they're going through, God reigns, you have beautiful feet. I don't care what you're going through, God still reigns. I don't care what sin perhaps has brought you into bondage or some type of slavery, Jesus still reigns over that sin and you can be set free. I don't care what sickness is trying to plague your body, Jesus reigns over sickness. I don't care what poverty is trying to sneak its way back into your life due to this economy, Jesus reigns in our finances. That is good news. That's what makes my feet so beautiful. I believe my feet are beautiful because that's all I do when I'm talking to the world is bring them good news. And all I do when I'm talking to you is bring you good news that God loves you, God is for you, God's not punishing you, God's not doing you any harm or ill will. God is here to reign if you will invite Him into your life. Amen? Amen. So that's pretty awesome. Now, we all need to understand, as we saw in our last session, that we're all called to share Jesus or share our faith. It's not just my responsibility to share my faith. It's not just my responsibility to share Jesus. We're all called to share Jesus. And yet many people, many churches have this old covenant paradigm. They have an old covenant wineskin trying to put new wine into this old wineskin, and they try to separate what they call the laity from the clergy. And that comes from the old covenant and basically religion. That somehow or another the preacher is called to share, and the preacher is anointed, and the preacher, the clergy, he's got an anointing or she's got an anointing to share Jesus, and the laity doesn't. Or somehow or another that my job is holy in the sense of being a pastor or sacred, but what you do is secular. It's just carnal. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm in the process of preparing literally our next series, and I'm going to be sharing on your purpose and discovering your purpose. And everyone needs to understand that God made you a certain way on purpose, for a purpose, and that what you do that we call work or a vocation is as holy as what I do in my vocation. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think work is one thing and church is another thing. No. Jesus is as much with you in work as He is with you at church, amen, and wants to work in you and through you. Again, they think that because the preacher has a pulpit and you're in a pew, we're different. Well, first of all, I ain't got no pulpit, so you can't throw that one at me, amen. So we nix that. The other thing, again, is I don't have a special anointing to share Jesus that you don't have. I've got an anointing for my vocation and my call to teach you and to encourage you and to inspire you in the things of God to better your life and to take that message to a hurting world. That's the only difference between us. There are no priests in the new covenant, and you're not in the priesthood. We've all been made kings and priests unto our God. And so we all have this calling on our life. And again, it's incumbent upon me to make sure I teach you and train you how to share Jesus in love, how to be the witness God's called us all to be. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, I'm going to look at the King James and the Amplified Bible. This passage is packed with instructions on how to share our faith. And the Lord has taken this passage in my own personal life and ministered greatly to me on how I need to live my life, on how I need to share Jesus with love and compassion and great mercy. And I really believe this will bless you. So we're going to walk through this passage and break it down together. We'll look at the King James Bible first. Let's start there. And it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with kindness and meekness and fear." Fear there not meaning afraid, it means respect. Respect. As a matter of fact, let's look quickly at the Amplified Bible. I think it does a great job. It says, "But in your hearts set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge Him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense." I love that. A logical defense. Look at this. "A logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that's in you." Not the hope that's in Brother Dwayne, but the hope that's in you, "but do it courteously and respectfully." Man, that is packed. That is powerful. That entire chapter and book of 1 Peter deals with persecution. It deals with being reviled. It deals with being rejected. If you want to do the right thing, if you try to live a life that brings glory to God, in this world there's going to be opposition. There's going to be pushback if you really live for Jesus. And so Peter talks about Christian suffering through that whole chapter and that whole book, on how that if we'll just do the right thing, no matter what it costs, God will reward us. And I believe that with all my heart. So that's why number one is you have to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We have to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. No matter what happens to you, Jesus is still Lord. No matter how many people reject you or persecute you or revile you or speak all manner of evil against you falsely, you still have to do the right thing. Amen? Okay, that's not enough of you. You can humor me every now and then and nod your head and act spiritual. Amen? We all need to do the right thing no matter what's done to us. And that's what Peter is saying. And saints, listen to me. Please look at me for just a minute here. I can't tell you how many good people get messed up because of what somebody else did to them. I can't tell you how many people get messed up and they're not seeking the kingdom first and God's righteousness, Matthew 6:33. They're not sanctifying the Lord in their heart because somebody mistreated them or somebody didn't do what they thought they ought to do or somebody did something to somebody else or somebody said something. And I mean, I have people all the time just being all messed up in their heart because of other people. People will get all out of whack and they'll say things like, I just can't believe they did that. My favorite response is, believe it. Can I get a witness? People do dumb things. But what's that got to do with what you and I are going to do? Well, I tell you, I can't believe that preacher ran off with the secretary. Believe it. Now, what are you and I going to do? I'm not going to run off with the secretary. I'm not going to quit serving God. I'm not going to quit seeking the kingdom first. I'm going to sanctify the Lord God in my heart no matter what other people do. No matter what other people do to me, I'm going to serve God, sanctify the Lord God in my heart, and I'm going to serve people. I'm going to love people whether they love me or not. You need to do the right thing no matter what wrong thing is done to you at any level. And that's what Peter is saying. If you don't sanctify the Lord God in your heart, you're going to become just like these people that are driving you nuts. Can I get a witness? I don't mean to be mean in this, but people are crazy. Have you been alive long enough to realize people are crazy? They're blooming crazy. And I'm not going to let them make me crazy. Amen. I'm going to sanctify the Lord God in my heart. And I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to serve people. I'm going to love God and love people no matter what anyone else does. And you've got to make that commitment for your life. You'll never be able to share Jesus. You'll never be able to follow God in all of His purpose and call for your life if you get your attention on people. So sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Jesus was asked one time by the Pharisees, and I believe it was a great question. If the Lord was here in His earthly ministry still, and in the body that Mary provided for Him. Everybody knows He's in a resurrected body now, right? But in His earthly ministry, He was in a body that Mary provided for Him, His mother. And in that body, He was asked, what is the greatest of all commandments? That's a great question. What's the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus said, here's the first commandment, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, which is your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions. And the second is like unto it, your neighbor as yourself. We have to love people with the love that we've received from God. As a matter of fact, Jesus even took that second commandment to another level and said that I give you a new commandment, a brand new commandment, that you love each other as I have loved you. I like that commandment better than love me as yourself, because I know some of you don't love yourself. And so you don't love me very much because you're self-destructive. But you know what? The new commandment is that you love me as Jesus has loved you and that I love you as Jesus loved me. That means I've got to sanctify the Lord God in my heart constantly. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 in the New Living Translation, this is the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit has been given and the Holy Spirit has come. And notice what Luke says here. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, what's this power for? And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice that it's progressive, our witness. It starts with our Jerusalem, our sphere of influence, then Judea a little further out, then Samaria, and then ultimately in the whole world. God has called each and every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Listen, to be a witness. And part of being a witness is sharing, but listen, never underestimate your life and how you live your life and the witness that is speaking very loud. Very loud. Many times, amen. Let's just go ahead and do it right on that one. Many times people are unable to hear what we're saying because of how we're living. Because of how we're living. And so we need to be mindful that the Holy Spirit has come to produce and bring forth character in our lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that how we live is a witness to people. And it makes a huge difference. And that's part of sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts. All right, the second thing concerning that passage is he says, be ready to always give an answer. Be ready to always give an answer. Amplified Bible says a logical defense. We all need to know what we believe and why we believe it. You don't have to become a theologian to share your story. You don't have to become a theologian and go to Bible school and know the whole Bible before you can share your faith, before you can share especially your story. But you do need to know what you believe. And church has to become, for many of you, for most of you, I believe that church has become what I'm about to say. But there's others of you, church is not just a time to gather together and hope I say something that keeps you awake. Church is not just a gathering together and you hope I say something you haven't thought about that gets your attention. No, we are supposed to be assembling together, and I'm supposed to be bringing something of eternal value that equips you to not only live a life that brings glory to God, but equips you to share with others. When I'm talking about Jesus, you're not supposed to sit there and go, well, I've heard this. I kind of know what that is. No, you're supposed to be learning it and being equipped in it so that when you're asked now, you can give an account that is logical and godly and respectful. We don't need to just know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. No, we need to know why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by him. Not just that letter of that. We need to be equipped in the simplicity of who Jesus is, because once you're able to communicate in love that the reason Jesus is the only way is there's no other sacrifice can be made for our sins. If a natural man could die for all of your sins, he would be the way. But there are no natural men born of flesh and blood that could die for us. Jesus was God made flesh, and his life was the very life of the second member of the Godhead, the Son of God. And the value of that life was worth all of your sins and the sins of the whole world. So the whys are important when you're sharing Jesus with people. And we're not coming across when we say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life like we're just dogmatic. No, we're excited about it, and we understand the why, and that, for one thing, thank God he made it simple. Thank God there isn't 3,000 ways. People will be so confused. But if there's only one way, we can get this fixed. Amen. And on I could go with keeping it simple, the KISS principle, keeping it simple. Now, I've redeemed the KISS principle. The KISS principle means keep it simple, saints. I like the old KISS principle a little better personally, but I don't want to unnecessarily offend you. But I guarantee you, you don't have to be deep and you don't have to be complex. It's the opposite. The simpler you make it, the more people can receive it and accept Jesus as Lord. So don't be intimidated by what you don't know. We're going to deal with that here in a minute. Share what you do know. Share the simplicity of Jesus and God's love for people and make it simple, and just simply make sure you keep equipping yourself to give a logical defense of why you believe what you believe. Number three, he says, to every man that asks. Man, I love that. To everyone that asks. I wasn't taught these things early, and I grew up in an evangelistic thrust and a system where you had to witness to everything that breathed and moved, and if you didn't share Jesus and you didn't share your faith and you didn't get them to say the sinner's prayer, you failed. That is pathetic. That you're a sick puppy if you still think like that. God didn't call me to impose my faith on anyone. I've been with people where we've been out to dinner that they felt like they had to witness to the waiter or waitress and lead them to the Lord, or they're missing God. How rude can we be? I'm not saying that there couldn't be an exception where the Holy Spirit does speak to you and wants you to minister to somebody in a setting like that. But I'm telling you, that is the exception to the rule, not the rule. That waiter or that waitress is working right now. They're on the job, and they are making a living by serving you. And one of the worst things you could do, dear ones, and I'm not trying to be mean, but this is dumb. And if you've done it, I love you, and I'll apologize to you face to face. But I've seen people that would leave a track as a tip for a waiter or a waitress. Man, you're pushing people away from God with that kind of attitude. You want to reach them? You're sincere? Put $100 in the track, and I bet they'll read it. And I bet the next time they see you coming into the restaurant, they'll want to serve you. Instead of, now, here's your tip. A track, and you think they're going to open that and now go, oh, praise God, God. They're trying to make a living, and you that's just mean. Thank you. You've never done it. You've never done it. Again, if God speaks to you to minister and witness to them, why don't you sacrifice some time and make sure that it's when they're off work instead of interfering with their work? I could go on and go on with things that people do that is not being courteous. It's not being respectful. And we don't have to do that. We don't have to be rude. We don't have to impose on people. We don't have to put people on the spot. We should be so passionate about Jesus, and we should be so excited about the kingdom of God and the goodness of God and the love of God that people ask. I'm telling you, people will ask. I could give testimony after testimony of how I am asked constantly, and people think it's because I'm a preacher. Well, you don't know preachers. I can't go to Walmart without being asked question after question after question, and somebody says, well, it's because you're a preacher. No, I know lots of preachers in this town that can go to Walmart, and people will avoid them. No, it's because people see my passion. It's because people know I love God, and it's because people know I love them. And when they see your love for God, and when they see your love for them, they will ask you questions. There's very few times, I can count on one hand how many times I have asked people, where are you at with God? One of them was my mother, because I didn't impose my faith on my family, and I lived it. Every one of them eventually did come to me. Every one of them did ask. And I've led everyone, including my mother, to the Lord. But I did ask her on her deathbed, where's she at with God? Because we don't have any time left. And that was led of the Spirit. And sure enough, she affirmed her faith. She apologized to me for all the rejection, all the years I went through, and made things right with me because she made things right with God. With God. So we just need to make sure that we're ready when people do ask. God is the one that's going in front of us and before us, preparing people's hearts. He's preparing the way. I don't know how to get this over to all of you in reality, but I'm telling you, you are a laborer that God is sending into the harvest, and I'm telling you, He's preparing people's hearts for you and your story. And if you learn how to share your story in love, I'm telling you, people will receive Christ and the good news if we will be faithful. Number four, he says, we need to, those that ask, we need to give a reason of the hope that's in you. Everybody say, in you. See, you're not responsible for sharing what I know. You're only responsible for sharing what you know. You're not responsible for my story. You're responsible for your story before God. He just wants you to share what you know and not worry about what you don't know. And I'm telling you, every one of you know the Lord. Every one of you have been forgiven of sins. You've had a personal encounter with God, and your story is as unique as your fingerprint. And there's an anointing on it. that God's put on you. And when you share your story, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, we need to know what we believe and why. We need to share our story. And this is a true statement. I'm not sure where it came from, but it is absolutely true. People really don't care what you know. They just need to know you care. People don't care what you know. I'm going to get into some fears that people have in a minute on why they don't share. And one of them is being asked a question you can't answer. Lots of people will not share. They're nervous. They got fears. Because, you know, if I reach out and I begin to witness, they're going to ask me a question I can't answer. Welcome to my world. Amen. I struggled with that early in the ministry. And it was God that had to show me that I'm not responsible for what I don't know. I'm only responsible for what I do know. I don't get up here every week and preach what I don't know. Have you figured that out yet? How can you do what I do if you don't know what you're talking about? So you need to just share what you do know and not be intimidated by what you don't know. I'll deal with it when I deal with the fears. Think about it this way. No one in the room or within the sound of my voice or watching or whatever situation you're in right now, listen to me carefully, nobody loves or likes a know-it-all. Nobody likes a know-it-all. So why do we think we have to know it all? Nobody would like us if we were a know-it-all. Do you know you will bless people immensely if you'll just begin to share your heart, your love for them, your love for God, introduce them to your story and to what God means to you in your life? It will bless them beyond measure when they ask you a question, and they will. They will purposely hit you up with a question that they know you can't answer. And when you go, I do not know, it disarms them. It's humility for you to say, I don't know. Actually, it's one word now. I don't know. Everybody practice with me. One word answer. I don't know. I don't know goes a long way. Well, if God loves everybody, why'd that Christian lady that I know, you know, die of cancer? I don't know. If God is love, how come that baby died in that family that goes to church all the time? You tell me God loves them, why'd that baby die? I don't know, but I know He loves you. Well, if God loves everybody, why does God send people to hell? I don't know. God doesn't send anybody to hell. And you don't need to go to hell. And me and God don't want you to go to hell. Well, what do you mean God doesn't send people to hell? God has never sent anybody to hell. A few of you are thinking, are you saying that nobody goes to hell? No. I'm saying God didn't send them. I'm saying they chose to go. And God only honors people's choice. People have to choose to go to heaven. They have to choose to love God. I was witnessing years ago, and the Lord said, stop that. That's why I'll get into some things about misspeaking, and God will tell you to stop something if it's not right. He's told me to stop it. And I would talk to people and I'd say, don't you want to go to heaven? And the Lord had to speak to me and say, no, they don't want to go to heaven. They don't want to even come to church. Why would they want to go to heaven? They don't even want to come to church. They despise all you people, and you're the people in heaven. That's the problem. They don't want to go to heaven. And the good news is, they really don't want to go to hell either. So if we can tell them how much God loves them, maybe they'll choose to go to heaven. Amen. Did you know in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, God says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Therefore, you choose life that you and your seed shall live. God's not choosing life or death for any of us. God's not choosing blessings and cursings for us. God's not choosing heaven or hell. We're choosing. And we either believe and choose life, or we unbelieve and choose death. The good news is you really get to choose. And it's not love if I take your choice away. That's why I'm not intimidated by people rejecting Jesus or saying no. They have a right to. I'll deal with that in detail here in a minute. We need to deal with the essentials in our sharing of Jesus and stay off the non-essentials. If you go to sharing Jesus, you're going to get hit up with so many non-essentials and distracted that the enemy's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy. You have to stay focused on God's love for people and Jesus and the cross. Because as soon as you start sharing, they're going to go, well, do I have to quit smoking to go to heaven? No. Well, do I have to quit drinking to go to heaven? No. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you saying, Pastor? Think for a minute. if they were to quit smoking and if they were to quit drinking, would them quitting smoking and them quitting drinking make them now go to heaven? See, we know the answers, but we get distracted. It's not quitting smoking or drinking or running around or whatever people are doing. It's not quitting those things that's going to save them. It's faith in Jesus that's going to save them. If they could quit smoking and drinking and running around, they wouldn't need Jesus. It's that they can't quit all that stuff, that they need Jesus. And God loves them. God loved me. I don't know about you, but God loved me while I was yet a sinner. And Christ died for me while I was yet a sinner. Christ died for me and saved me, forgave me, loved me when I was an enemy of God. He loves them the same way. And you have to stay focused and not get a, well, I mean, I got tattoos. I'm not going to be able to serve God. You think God's hung up on tattoos? Religious people might be. I don't care for them, but I ain't hung up on them, and I know God ain't. Did you see the greeters today when you came into the church? Well, do y'all speak in them other tongues down there? I don't know about other tongues, but is my tongue clear? God loves you. Because they're never going to understand tongues, and it's just going to turn into a debate, and faith doesn't come by arguing or debating. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the good word of God, the good message. So stick with the essentials and don't let people get you off track when you're trying to share the love of God. All right, now love number five, do it courteously and respectfully. We don't have to be contentious with people. We don't have to impose. You know, I hear this all the time. We all just trying to impose your faith on people. I have never imposed my faith on anyone, but I've lived my faith with no shame, no embarrassment. I love God and I'm not ashamed of it. God loved me and I'm not ashamed of that. And I'm not ashamed of sharing with you God's great love for you. Amen? Everybody say, I love Brother Dwayne. I need a hug. Everybody say, I love Brother Dwayne. I'm feeling good. Everybody feeling good? Let's deal with social media here. There are things posted on Facebook or things in a text between your children and other children and things in a tweet that are not very courteous, not very respectful. And I don't know how to communicate this because as soon as I go down this track, some of you think, well, he's just an old fuddy-duddy. He doesn't like social media. No, we use social media. We are on social media. But saints, you got to be careful what you post, and you've got to understand that when you post something on your Facebook page, there is up to 6 billion people that's going to affect. And you don't need to be rude. You don't need to be unkind. You can't deal with certain issues. Listen to me, dear ones. There are certain issues that are too complex. There's too much nuance. There's too many issues to try to resolve some of the cultural issues we're facing today in a tweet or in a post or in a text. And we, to this day, I believe with all my heart, do not understand the unintended consequences of social media. We are in still a digital revolution. We are in a media revolution. The digital revolution has impacted the world in a greater measure than the industrial revolution did. And we're behind the eight ball on the unintended consequences. There are things that your children are posting that is damaging to them, damaging to the church, damaging to the faith. And we've got an entire generation of young people coming up that I am not exaggerating. They can't communicate eyeball to eyeball. You can't replace relationship with a post. You can't replace the nuances of human behavior and connectivity with a tweet. We've got to understand that we need to build relationship with a true and a living God that isn't a post, but is a person. And relationship one with another in resolving issues and not look to social media to answer certain questions. It can't be done. It can't be done. Some of your young people are going to bed at night, and some of the things posted against them is nothing less than bullying. It's mean. Words are weapons, and whether they're spoken or posted, they're damaging to people's hearts and to their lives. And I'll try to help some parents out with this, and they'll bow up at me like somehow or another their kids have personal rights and privileges on their phones or on their iPads or on their computers, and that's personal stuff. It isn't personal when you post it and 6 billion people just saw it. There are things that people are saying through social media that I would be embarrassed to say to my wife. And that's damaging. And you have every right to know what your children are tweeting and bleeding and anything else they're doing. Well, I just don't want to intrude their... Just go on their Facebook. Everybody else is reading it. You need to read it. And make sure that they're not hurting someone else with their post or dishonoring God with some of the things that are said. And again, I'm not sure how to communicate this. I think this helps if you'll listen carefully on this quick example. When there are issues between Sue and I, how do you think it would work out with me if I would text her? I don't think that would work out very well for me. I got a feeling the next text I would get back would be a meet with Jesus moment. Are you really getting what I'm trying to say? There are certain things cannot be communicated through social media, and many times we're trying to answer questions that need to be answered in a set down, in an environment of love. And I don't know how spirit-led you are, but I have dealt with one guy on this issue, and here's how I had to deal with it because of where he was, because of how he's responding, because of what his understanding is. The next guy has the same exact problem, but there isn't a cookie cutter answer. There's the biblical principle, but how I apply it may be totally different with this guy because of where he's at now, of how he's responding to me, of his... Am I making any sense at all? I mean, some social media has become the cesspool of the entire planet. It's horrible, the things that are on there, and it affects people, especially young people. So be mindful of what you post. I'm not saying anything against social media. I'm saying we got to make sure we're courteous and respectful, and we represent the Lord right in whatever we're even going to post. I've seen some people post things about other churches that they didn't have the guts to go to the pastor and tell the pastor, but they told 6 billion people how they felt. That's not right. Amen or oh me. That is not right. And we need to realize that we are witnessing on how we deal with one another, even on social media. That's my point. And I did good no matter what the response was. All right. Due to social media, I got a lot of feedback through social media of our last session. And the response was pretty awesome. And a lot of people posted on our Facebook fears that they have. And it's helping me now help them and you. So if you want me to answer some questions about witnessing, you can fill out a Connect card or you could post a question that I would love to address if possible. So here's some common fears. Number one, that people are afraid to share their faith because the person that they're sharing it with may reject them or the message. Or the message. John 16 verse 8 says, "And when he," that's the Holy Spirit, "comes, he will convict." Everybody say convict. "He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." The world's sin is that they refuse to believe in me. See, that's the sin that wasn't covered at the cross, is the rejection of the cross. That's why you, when you're sharing Jesus with someone who doesn't know Jesus, need to just stick with the love of God, because that's what the Holy Spirit's convicting the world of righteousness. And that righteousness is available because I go to the Father. That's the resurrection. And you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Man, I praise God that the devil has been judged. He can't keep anybody from getting saved. He can't keep you from getting healed. He can't keep you from getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He can't keep you from getting blessed. He can't keep you from the promises and blessings of God. Only you can keep you from the blessings of God. Only a preacher that's preaching unbelief can keep you from the promises of God because of the devil being judged. And so we've got to share with everyone, because everyone has a right to reject the message. Now, don't look at the monitors. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Please don't look at the monitors. I want you to get this. I don't want you just to read it. I want you to look at me. Everyone has a right to reject the message. But everyone also has a right to hear the truth. They don't have a right to not know the truth because I won't tell it. Are you following me? And listen, and this is something God did in my life that was huge. This is huge what I'm about to say. I wouldn't share with certain people because I believed they were going to reject it. I believed they wouldn't accept it. I believed they would get mad at me or reject me and reject the message. And so watch. By me not sharing, I rejected the truth for them. And I don't have a right to reject the truth for any of you. You have a right to reject the truth, but I don't have a right to reject it for you. I have a right to share it in love and then allow you to make your choice and me honor your choice in love. Even if you say no, I'm not shook by anybody saying no. You have a right to say no. And I'm not trying to use reverse psychology on people, but you'd be shocked at how many times I have shared with people and they've said, man, I don't think so, man. I'm not ready. And no. And then when I go, praise God, that's fine, that's great. Man, I love you. Well, what about this? As soon as you allow them the freedom and not condemn them and not impose your faith and not pressure them, it's as if they begin to open back up again many times. So it's okay. It's not my job to convict anybody of anything. That's why even after a service together like this, I wish every one of you'd get this. It'd be over the top. But some of you are going to walk out of here and you're not going to... You're not going to give a second thought to anything I said. You think that's going to keep me up at night? No, I'm going to pray for you and sick the Holy Ghost on you. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Ghost convicts, the Holy Ghost convinces, and the Holy Ghost converts. I can't change anybody. I can't convict anybody. All I can do is love on you. And the Holy Ghost is the one that convicts you. Again, some people teach that when you're witnessing, it's like some salesman. And all of us, if you're a salesman, I love you. But all of us get uncomfortable when that salesman is pressuring to close the deal. Matter of fact, when you do that to me, I bow up. As soon as you start pressuring me, it's no. And no reverse psychology is going to work on me. No. You're not getting that either. Okay, this is pretty powerful. We need to have faith that the Holy Spirit is real and that it's His job to convict, not yours. If they say no, so what? No big deal. No big deal. We have no right to reject it, the truth, for them in silence. That was the point I was trying to make. Number two, fear people have is failing God. I may misspeak. I may say something wrong. Saints, God loves you unconditionally, and He's proud of you just for sharing. You probably are going to misspeak sometimes. You are going to say things wrong. But that's the Holy Spirit's job too, is to tell you, hey, that's not a good approach. And you don't need to feel like God's displeased with you ever. God is never displeased with you when you're trying to share His love with people. So get over that fear of misspeaking, or I might say something wrong. I don't know enough. Every one of you know enough to share the love Jesus has for people. Amen? Everybody can share. God loves people. Number three, I don't want to offend anyone. I'm not sure how to deal with that. That was one of the questions we had. Man, I just fear offending people. Well, don't fear offending people, just don't offend them. I don't have a fear of offending anybody. Why? I'm not offensive. I'm not going to be offensive. I'm going to be courteous and respectful when I share my faith. Number four, can't answer a certain question. This is a big one. I'm scared that I'm going to be asked a question I can't answer. Well, get over it, because you will be asked a question you can't answer. And you got the one word answer. What's the one word answer? I don't know. And here's the good news. When you humble yourself like that and say, I don't know, but if you're serious and you want an answer, we'll get one. You bring them to church, you bring them to a pastor, and then they'll get to hear the one word answer again. Because there's some things we just don't know. But we know God loves people, and we know Jesus died for our sins, and we know that God wills nothing but good for you, and we can share what we do know and not be afraid of what we don't know. Never hold back what you know for a fear of what you don't know. Just always be honest. I don't know. And people will respect that. This generation especially, there's a, how do I say that and it come across right? But I have friends that are shocked at the popularity, I mean that in a godly way, of young people that I have and popularity I have with young people. They just can't figure that out. I don't know. It's not a mystery to me. Look at me. I'm beautiful. I'm young and vibrant. I don't know what the big deal is. But one of the things that I believe young people respond to me, regardless of my age, is because I'm real. Young people today just want what's real. They hate religion, they hate a Pharisee, and they hate phony, just being a phony. But when you're just real and honest, they open up and they will you as well. Last one, man, I want to share my faith, I want to share Jesus, but I'm scared I'm going to be asked to pray. And this is real. This is a real fear that people have. I had it. I shared with you years ago my testimony of being asked the first time to pray publicly and how I freaked out. You've got to learn to get over that. And I know how to get you over that if you'll let me help you. Because it's a real fear that people have. I guarantee you right now, if I was to say, hey, I want you right now to stand up and dismiss us in a word of prayer, people would faint. They would pass out. We would have to make sure a medic is available, oxygen is available. That we had a fibrillator in the back with the paddles. Bam! Bring them back. They just, bam! Hit the floor. Passing out. And I'd love to have those paddles and bam! Bring you back and say, try again, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. This is why we want you in a small group. You'll never get over the fear of praying. And I could spend hours on this. Because prayer, I have struggles with prayer still. Prayer to me, in my personal life, is intimacy with God. And it's being naked before God. And I'm so comfortable naked before God, but getting naked before people spiritually is unsettling at times. And I understand that fear. I have asked for people to be honest in a show of hands, and it has helped. I never would have done that in the past, but I felt like the Lord led me in it, and there's a reason for it. But I wonder how many people would be honest right now, and I want you to think with me for a minute. If I was to ask you right now to stand up and dismiss us in a word of prayer, how many of you can admit, man, I'd be anxious. I would feel nervous. It would just make me panic. Would you raise your hand? Now, I want you to look around. Look at that. I'm not doing that to embarrass you. I'm doing that, and the Lord showed me this. I'm doing that so you could see that other people struggle with that same fear, that you're not alone. I was in a situation, I pray one day I can share it, but I don't feel like the Lord would have me share it at this time. But I was in a prayer meeting that was the prayer meeting in honor of my life, and I was invited to it, and there were some high-powered people, some of the most high-powered people in the world were in that house. And if I began to name the ministers that were there, everybody in here would know them. And I was honored to pray for a specific person, for a specific thing that was just the biggest honor again of my life. And just as they said, Brother Dwayne, would you come down here and pray? I mean, for that second, I felt what you just raised your hand on, that, oh my gosh, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's here. There's other people that could pray a lot better, a lot bigger ministries than mine. I'm unknown. Nobody knows who I am, and da-da-da-da-da. And it hit me what I was doing, that 36 years ago, that's the way I thought. That these people aren't here to hear me pray, and I'm not praying to them, I'm praying to God. And man, I laid my hands on the particular person that I believe could become one of the most powerful persons on the planet one day, and prayed right out of my heart, and it was so liberating to just pray like I pray. And I know it blew everybody away. I know people were thinking, what kind of prayer is that? I'm praying things like, God, I pray for crop failure in our country, hallelujah. And that all these bad seeds that we've sown, that, man, you'd be merciful, and, man, we wouldn't get a harvest on it. And I pray that every preacher that's in this room that has sown good seeds, that we would get a quick harvest to save our country. And it just came out of my heart as my point, and it felt good to be at a place in my life that I could go do that and not have to wrestle with that anxiety. I didn't get there overnight either. That's why I want you in a small group. You get with your spouse, and if you can't pray with your spouse, a lady told me just recently that she can't pray with her spouse. She doesn't have anybody to pray with, so she prays with her dog. She prays with the dog. I thought that was awesome, because some of you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Just crying all the time. Somebody ought to write a song. Hallelujah. You need to practice, is my point. You need to get in a small group where you're loved and just pray for 10 seconds. You don't have to pray for 2 hours. Dear God, when you're witnessing, I'm begging you, please do not pray 2 hours. You'll drive that person totally off the planet praying for 2 hours. You only got to pray for like 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and you just have to pray from your heart. The only way you're going to overcome this fear is to step out and face it and do it. And if we had like 3 hours, I would make some of you stand up. I'm feeling bold. But I wouldn't do that to ever embarrass you or to hurt or harm you. So I think all of us need to practice this, is what I'm trying to say. Amen. Did anybody get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Thank you for your honesty with your hands. You don't know what that meant to the person sitting right next to you that saw that. That we can be honest like that. Nobody's judging you. Nobody's judging me for my hang-ups. No, we're going to work together and walk together, and we're going to get better at doing this together. Amen. Father, I love you, and I love these precious people, and I thank you for the call on our life and the joy.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma, 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.